Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode number 283. This is Jim Hart coming to you from the island of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, where outside my door we have a raging hurricane with 70 mile per hour winds in the center, and here at my house it's about 55 miles an hour, and I hope the electricity stays on long enough to be with you. I want to thank you for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And Mrs. Weigel in South Florida, we hope you're with us tonight also. It's always great about talking about the Eastern family, both old and new. Remember, you can always listen to the radio show on your computer by going to www.ealradioshow.com or on our sponsor's website, www.repaonline.com. Of course, this is the Retired Eastern Pilots Association website. The other way is to just call into the radio show's live online phone number at 213-816-1611. And this will put you right into the queue with other callers looking to speak with us. You may even want to join the conversation or ask the host or guest a question. We encourage you to add to our show by joining us live and on the air. Now, let's get flight number 283 in the air.
Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please. Cabin crew, please take your seats for takeoff. Captain, we have completed the cabin departure announcements and we're secure for departure.
Well, thank you, Beverly. And Don, will you call Miami Tower and let them know that we're ready for takeoff?
Sure thing. Miami Tower, Eastern 283 is ready for takeoff.
Roger, Eastern 283. The winds are from the west at 5 knots. You're cleared for takeoff on runway 27 left.
Roger, copy. Eastern 283, confirm runway 27 left, and we're on the roll.
Hi, Dorothy. I see we got the same trip for the month. How have you been?
I've been fine, Beverly. Yes, I enjoy flying anywhere in the Caribbean that has a left layover. And when I saw the Aruba trip on the bid sheet, I put it in as my first choice. I don't think we have flown a trip together since that month to San Francisco.
Yeah, that was a fun trip, especially with the 22-hour layover. I love the West Coast trips, but in the wintertime, flying anywhere close to the equator is first on my bid sheet. Flying the Boeing 757 equipment makes it that much better. Have you flown with Captain Steve Thompson and First Officer Chuck Albright before? They're great fun on a flight.
Oh, yes. Both are great pilots, and most importantly, they are gentlemen. They'll make sure you have everything you need for the flight and standby decisions you make on cabin maintenance. Let's go into the briefing room and meet the rest of the crew, though. I see you'll be flying in senior, and just put me anywhere you need me.
Thanks, Dorothy.
Over at Flight Operations, Steve and Chuck check in with Crew Sked and are now looking over the weather and deciding on the fuel load. There has been a tropical disturbance situated about halfway between their departure and destination. It's just under hurricane wind force, but not yet classified as a hurricane.
Steve, looks like we might have to do some zigzagging along the way. Looks like clouds over the top. I'm not in favor of being a hurricane hunter on this trip, but I'd rather leave it to the real brave pilots and the jumpsuits flying military aircraft for that kind of flying. You know, I'm one of Eastern's most colorful pilots. Steve?
Well, Chuck, I'm not going to argue with you there. I mean, about flying in severe turbulence, not being colorful. I see that there has been moderate to severe turbulence reported around flight level 250, depending on our passenger load and fuel requirement. For an alternate, we might be able to top most of the turbulence at flight level 410.
Hey, I'm not afraid of heights. The higher the better, I've always said. Have you met the cabin crew? I think Beverly and Dorothy are on the cabin crew list.
Yeah, good. I always like flying with the two of them. We flew San Francisco together a few months back. Why don't you go out to the aircraft and let them know that we're going to have some weather along the way? They're probably already aware of it from the TV coverage and of the storm that has been given the past couple of days.
Captain Steve finishes up the paperwork and does some one-on-one weather briefing with dispatch and the chief of Eastern's meteorology department, Don Gagnon.
Hey, Captain Thompson. I believe we've met before on another weather-related occasion.
Oh, hi. Yes, I remember that flight. But, Don, as it turned out, it wasn't so much the weather that factored in as we did the three engine that flamed out. But all ended well. The captain I was finishing up on his flight check did a great job, and did the second officer. And I'm still here to talk about it.
Yeah, that sounds good. It looks pretty good on the first part of your trip. The center of the disturbance is about 100 miles off the east coast of Guyana. It's moving northwest at about 25 miles per hour. By your arrival time, the northwest edge will be approaching the Windward Islands near Grenada, and forecast to become a Cat 1 hurricane. You might want to delay your trip for a few hours so we can see which way this thing is going to be tracking.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we'll do. Tell you what, I'll be out in the crew lounge and we'll monitor on TV and the weather channel and check in with you from time to time. I'll round up the crew and let them know. I'm sure that they want to get a few winks in on those comfortable new Lazy Boy chairs the company has just installed.
The crew are all napping in the crew lounge except Captain Steve and his first officer, Chuck. CNN-TV World News Channel is showing reporters broadcasting live from San Juan, Puerto Rico, scenes from islands in the projected path of Bonnie. One reporter is on the island of Aruba, standing in the surf with swaying palm trees in view.
I'd just soon see if we can get a ESPN sports channel, if that's all right with you, Captain.
Yeah, sure, Chuck. I'll go back to dispatch and see what the thinking is there before we make our decision as to go or delay further. Unless there's a definite turn to the more northerly direction, we might just want to cancel the flight.
Hey, Captain, I was about to come over there and get you on the latest changes of Hurricane Bonnie. It is now a hurricane. It seems the National Hurricane Center in Miami is forecasting the path to shift more to the north and miss Aruba altogether. It's your call, pal.
Okay, I'll tell dispatch to give us a new release time and refigure the fuel. I hate to disappoint a full load of vacationers from their fun in the sun.
The aircraft has been boarded, fueled and complete, and the agent gives Senior Flight Attendant Beverly the paperwork for Flight 283, Atlanta nonstop to Aruba. Flying time is 3 hours and 57 minutes at a cruising altitude of flight level 390.
Thanks, Jose. We're okay in the cabin, and you can close the main entrance door now. See you next time. Captain Steve, here's your paperwork, and the main entrance door is closed and secure. I don't see any lights on the annunciator panel. Hey, how's that for cabin crew help?
You know, a bit more ground school, and you could have my seat, Bev. You know, a monkey could actually fly this airplane. All it takes is pushing the right button and a stalk of bananas.
Is that why you carry a bunch in your bag? See you guys in the air. Bye now.
Boy, did we get an Eastern's finest, or what? She's married, too, darn it. Wonder if he knows how lucky he is.
All right, Chuck, grab another banana and call for pushback, please.
Eastern Flight 283, cruising at flight level 390, is approaching the Dominican Republic and just off the eastern tip of Cuba on their direct routing to Aruba. Clouds now obscure passenger viewing of these beautiful island countries, their beaches, and clear waters. However, the trip has been smooth and cabin service flawless. Passengers have been enjoying the latest box office hits in theaters or dreaming of their visit to Aruba. The captain picks up the passenger mic and announces the following.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Captain Steve Thompson, and we're about 400 miles out from Aruba. And shortly, we'll be starting our descent for arrival into Queen Beatrix International Airport, serving Aruba. We'll be landing on runway 11 today. The latest weather shows a broken cloud base at 2,000 feet and gusty winds out of the northwest at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Now, since the hurricane has changed its course to a more northerly direction, it should not be a factor in our landing. In fact, I feel pretty good about very good weather while you are visiting the beautiful island. Your flight attendants will now prepare the cabin for arrival. I'll turn the seatbelt sign on now, and we may experience a little choppy air during our descent due to the outer bands of the hurricane. We'll take all necessary precaution to give you a pleasant flight into Aruba as possible. Now, thank you very much for flying with Eastern today, and have a very pleasant stay in Aruba. Chuck, will you call Curacao Control Center and see if they want us, if we can start down now?
Right, Captain. Curacao Center, this is Eastern 2383 requesting descent.
Roger, Eastern 283. You're cleared down to flight level 250. We've got some isolated returns on some cells on your present course, and you're cleared to deviate as necessary. Let us know when you want to get a direct course back to the airport. The altimeter is 29.89. Report leaving or arriving at flight level 250, would you?
Roger, Center. We're leaving flight level 890 for 250. We'll let you know if we need to deviate around any cells we pick up on our radar. Thank you for the help.
Eastern Flight 283 experiences moderate turbulence during its descent and starts to pick its way around a few strong cells to give the passengers as smooth a flight as possible under the existing conditions. Senior Flight Attendant Beverly prepares the cabin for the arrival.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have started our descent for Aruba. Please bring your seat backs and tray tables to their full upright position. Make sure your seat belts are securely fastened and all carry-on luggage is stowed underneath the seat in front of you or in the overhead bin. Oh my God, Beverly, give me PA and tell the other flight attendants to be
you, that bus is just a tad. Across in the air. Oh, my God.
That concludes part one of our skit tonight, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Our host actors have been, they've done a great job. Round of applause. Let's see if I can, no, I think I've turned the applause sound effect off, but at any rate, you did a great job. And we've got a little bit of turbulence on part two, so stay tuned next week when we bring you the arrival into Aruba. Thanks so much. Now, listen to the song we've selected for today's special day that we call Labor Day.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street the traffic starts jumping. Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. On the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all.
Well, I guess you get the idea. We have to work. Yeah, unless we're very, very fortunate. But personally, I enjoy working. You might call work labor. And that's today, Labor Day, December, or correction, September the 5th. And that's today. The definition of Labor Day is, first of all, the word, words is noun, and it's either spelled L-A-B-O-U-R, Labor Day, or a noun spelled L-A-B-O-R, Day, Labor Day. Either way. Thank goodness we get to work. Jim Hart, tell us a little bit more about Labor Day.
About what, Neil?
About Labor Day.
Ah, well, I tell you, Labor Day here on the island of Martha's Vineyard is usually the last real holiday of the season. Unfortunately, this year, because of the hurricane right outside our door, all of the shop owners are, I think, very disappointed, because even the steamship authority getting people to and from the mainland has limited the number of trips that they will carry. And a steamship only carries about 1,500 persons. So here I am wondering whether I should reinstate my bed and breakfast here. I have a couple of friends up the street wondering the very same thing. It's too bad that the season has to end this way, but hey, who can determine what the weather is going to be? Our next holiday here is on, I believe it's October 13, and that will be the final holiday before Thanksgiving and Christmas. Back to you, Neil.
Yeah, Labor Day in the United States is a public holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September, as we're doing again this year. It honors the American labor movement and the contributions that workers have made to the strength prosperity, and well-being of the country. It is a Monday of the long weekend known as Labor Day weekend, and it is considered the unofficial end of summer, as Jim mentioned. Beginning in the late 19th century, as the trade union and labor movements grew, trade unionists proposed that a day be set aside to celebrate labor. Labor Day was promoted by the Central Labor Union and the Knights of Labor, which organized the first parade in New York City. In 1887, Oregon was the first state of the United States to make it an official public holiday. By the time it became an official federal holiday in 1894, 30 U.S. states officially celebrated Labor Day. Canada's Labor Day is also celebrated on the first Monday of September. More than 80 countries celebrate International Workers' Day on May 1st, the ancient European holiday of May Day, and several countries have chosen their own dates for Labor Day. More than 100 years after the first Labor Day observance, there is still some doubt as to who first proposed the holiday for workers. Chuck, do you have anything more about that?
Yes, some records show that Peter J. McGeary, General Secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners and co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, was first in suggesting a day to honor those who, from rude nature, have devoured and carved out all the grandeur we behold. But Peter McGeary's place in Labor Day history has not gone unchallenged. Many believe that Matthew McGuire, a machinist, not Peter McGeary, founded the holiday. Recent research seems to support the contention that Matthew McGuire, later the Secretary of Local 344 of the International Association of Machinists in Plattsburgh, New Jersey, proposed the holiday in 1882 while serving as Secretary of Central Labor Union in New York. What is clear that the Central Labor Union adopted a Labor Day proposal and adopted a committee to plan a demonstration and a picnic. Neil?
Well, that's our report about Labor Day, and American families are enjoying the day off. Schools are closed. Banks are closed. Federal buildings are closed. Not much going on except the retailers. They're practicing labor on Labor Day. I had one of our hosts that wrote an article that I'd like to read on this Labor Day, and I'll give you his name at the end of the email that he sent me. And it's titled Labor Day 2016. Well, another Labor Day is upon us, and once again, American workers from every walk and in every occupation continue to take it on the chin. It apparently makes no difference whether a Democrat or Republican is in charge, because no matter which, working men and women are still viewed and treated as the bad guys. Just take a quick look around to confirm this. The president swore up and down that he is for the middle class, yet he uses every trick in the book to impose the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement upon us, which is anything but free. Make no mistake, American workers will pay many times over for this boondoggle with their additional sweat for less. Hard money, hard-earned money, employee benefits, and jobs. This represents no more than the continued race to the bottom for the American labor force. Employers will now claim that they can compete with workers in the lower-paid Pacific Rim countries. In turn, this will translate into further cuts in pay, retirement, and benefits for the American workers, or their employees will outsource their jobs. Job guarantees, retraining assurances, pure hogwash. Recall, if you will, the 1978 United States Airline Deregulation Act, under which all of this started. We all heard the familiar false promises and guarantees, yet not one single pilot was ever protected or went to another airline after their carrier ceased operation, with their pay and or seniority intact, as the language of this legislation originally stated would take place. No one knows this better than the former Eastern pilots and other employees with this airline. Today's current definition of Labor Day amounts to no more than a sad and sordid comic story for American workers, except it is anything but a joke. It is turned into just another national holiday where the politicians from both parties pander and lie to the workers who put them into offices, as large retailers offer goods with many made in China at alleged sale prices and further line their pockets, while their employees are paid minimum wages and mom-and-pop stores are simultaneously priced out of business. The ones I truly feel sorry for are children and grandchildren who will never know the way things were and the way they could be because the true labor leaders are long gone, now replaced by fat cats who are more concerned with lining their own pockets than helping those they were elected or appointed to represent. A fairly paid, skilled American workforce is what generated the American dream that was made up by the middle class, which in turn made this country great. Without them, well, I'll leave it up to you to fill in the blanks for the rest of that sentence. But I think we can all see what transpires around us on a daily basis. Our children and grandchildren will likely never know the true hope and opportunities that the real America once held for everyone. This has been replaced by politically correct sham quotas that force those who should be in the front of the line to be placed in the back, but behind those who are unqualified. Perhaps, just maybe, our republic can one day rekindle all that it once proudly stood for. But don't hold your breath. That article was written by George Jenn, who has been the author of several recent books, and we know George to have written a great book about Eastern Final Destination Disaster. So, George, sorry that you couldn't be with us tonight to read your own little opine, as it's called in the newspaper, but I wanted to read that because it's just one person's opinion. And I'd like any comments about what we've talked about, both the flight and also Labor Day. Anyone would like to add a few words?
Yeah, this is Chuck. I'd like to have a footnote to his absolutely fantastic article. I've been on both sides of the wall, so to speak. I was in labor unions for a lot of years as a mechanic, and then went into management at Eastern Airlines and moved up the ranks, I realized what was happening in the upstairs rooms, so to speak. Well, a lot of people don't understand that the basic premise of all our wages in this country were based upon labor unions insisting that the laborers had a decent wage and a decent working week. And George has brought that out in his article. For these big fat cats to come along and say that the labor people are making too much money, they can't compete, I have to agree with George. It's kind of hogwash. I think they're lining their pockets on the back of our labor people in this country. And they bring in or they send out to have cheaper labor to undermine our actual whole economic structure of this country by doing so. That's my little comment.
Neil, I have one that I'd like to give. Do you have a moment?
Sure, Jim.
I remembered in 1956. I had just served 5 years in Korea, and I was due to be released from the Naval Aviation Group. And I started to look around and determine what I wanted to do. And, you know, there were so many jobs available in so many different areas. And I chose Eastern Airlines. And I'll tell you, I had almost 12 years with Eastern Airlines. And it was the most wonderful 12 years that I could have ever spent, because no one asked me what school I went to. They took me at face value, and they gave me all the leeway I needed to do a good job and to show how much I appreciated having a job at that time. It doesn't seem like that is available today to our young people. I have a grandson, graduated from college in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he wanted to become officer in the Corps of Forestry. I couldn't think of the name of it, but do you know, he tried, he applied, and he's been waiting and waiting, and apparently you can't get into the forestry service until someone either retires or dies. My grandson is almost 30 years of age now, and he is a lifeguard in a community pool in Vail, Colorado, and he drives an airport, a limousine for one of the posh hotels in Vail, Colorado, just biding his time until he can find a decent job these days. It's really a shame. I'm glad I grew up when I did, and I'm sorry for the young people coming along today. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you for that. And a lot of us had to compete for jobs, Jim, just as you did, and I definitely did, to get on with Eastern Airlines. I wrote all of my resumes to a lot of different airlines, and Steve, I'm sure you did too, and Chuck, Beverly, you probably did, and all of us employed with Eastern, unless you walked in at the exact time that someone didn't show up for work and they need you right now, and they said, go put a jacket on and you're going to work. That didn't happen very often with Eastern, and a lot of folks wanted to go with Eastern, and I've talked to a lot of pilots with other airlines, and they said that Eastern was their first choice, but they wound up with some other airline. So I found it very, I'm so grateful that I was hired, but I had to do certain things before I got on with Eastern, just being married and having two children. I had to make sacrifices, as most of us did, to get that job that we dreamed of. And it's very rewarding once you get that job. And perhaps that's why we love Eastern so much. It was a very dedicated company to its employees. And that's why I guess we love it so much. And I don't know whether it's you can consider our jobs labor. And now I look at it as this Labor Day as a labor of love for the company that I work for.
That, I think, Neil, is one reason why we never looked at the clock. I never looked at the clock because I enjoyed my job so much.
I think a lot of people who work for Eastern Airlines felt the same way. I'm one of the Eastern brats. I think one of the other hosts is a brat too. My father was went with Eastern in 1937, and he loved the company, and he instilled that into me and my brother to work for the airlines. And my brother became a pilot. He worked for other airlines. He had to struggle, and I worked for other airline before I got on with Eastern. But Eastern was a family. I mean, no matter where you went into the system, you always felt people there were there to help you. You needed help, and they appreciated the help that you wanted to give to other people. And I truly loved Eastern Airlines for the almost 20 years that I worked for them. I don't know how you other guys feel about it.
We've got a lot of area codes on our board tonight. As a matter of fact, it's all lit up. So if any of you are so inclined to just open up and make a comment, just say hello or, yeah, I enjoyed working for Eastern or whatever. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. All the microphones are turned on. Don't hear too much background noise, so that's good. Maybe we got the message across over so many shows that we don't hear too many background noises with this kitchen table radio that we do every Monday. So if you'd like to make a comment about anything, just go ahead and sound off.
Neil, this is Steve, and I was just so fortunate. I have been blessed my whole life with opportunities that God has provided. And I started out with Piedmont Airlines, and I had to get an instrument rating, and the person who gave me my instrument rating, I was scheduled for a flight the next day, and he gave me my instrument rating and a tri-pacer, and I had to do a range approach into the Winston-Salem Airport, and I missed the airport by 4 miles on the approach. But I was scheduled for the flight the next day, and they couldn't replace me, so he fortunately wrote out my instrument ticket. So I had got my instrument rating, and I was on the flight as a co-pilot the next day. And then I went to work for Eastern Airlines after lots of my friends, or some of my friends, decided that they had learned to fly the DC-3 and they were ready for something bigger. And then I followed suit, and Frank Kern gave me a job at Eastern Airlines. And it was a blessing ever since then. And I loved Eastern Airlines. Thank you all.
Well, you know, I had a email from one of the gentlemen that is the son of one of the captains that worked for Eastern Airlines. And he wanted to attend the reunion, and he hoped that he was on time. And, of course, I told him he certainly was. He wrote back, and he asked me, he said, I did want to mention that I'm not an Eastern employee, but I'm the son of an Eastern employee, and that his father loved Eastern so much that he feels like he's been part of the Eastern family for a long time. He just wanted to make sure that he would fit in if he came. So I, of course, turned around and said, you are Eastern family, and any family that belongs to one of our employees, you certainly are Eastern family. And I thought that was quite an honor for a son of a captain to call in, you know, and want to attend our reunion. Back to you, Neil.
You know, it's amazing that so many people love this airline. No, it's not amazing. So many people love this airline, especially the families of those that work for Eastern Airlines, and how they write emails like you just mentioned, Dorothy. And I just wonder whether the other airlines have the same camaraderie or family or whatever you want to call it of its former employees doing what we hear every Monday night from those that talk about Eastern Airlines on our radio show. So it's great to have a sounding board or a way of getting out our feelings toward our company and hearing stories from those that are family members and what their thoughts are of the airline that we work for. I want to invite again anyone listening that has not made a reservations or reservation to our reunion, our second annual reunion in Fort Lauderdale coming up September 23rd, 24th, to please consider being there, because we are honoring two great people. One that was, in my opinion, a true hero of piloting an airplane under duress and, I mean, horrific conditions in the cockpit, and was able to land the airplane, saving the lives of all on board that airplane, including the remaining crew members, and that being Captain Bob Wilbur. And so we're honoring Bob. He did win the Dedalian Award, the highest commercial aviation award conferred on anybody in any every year. They have that award going out, a person so deserving, and he won it in 1971. It was presented to him, and we've asked about that trophy because the trophy has been misplaced, and we'd certainly like to find it again, especially before the reunion, and have it there. I understand it's a pretty tall trophy, about 4 feet in height, so it can't be concealed in a small place. It's got to be out there. So if anyone knows where that trophy may be, we'd certainly like to hear about that. So just email us at host@ealradioshow.com. But we're going to honor Bob for what he did in landing the airplane, having both arms shot, and his co-pilot deceased in the airplane. And landed the airplane, and even the hijacker lived, but died a little later on. So we want to recognize Bob on the 24th, September 24th, by giving him our special award. We also want to honor Vito Borelli, who has been longtime president and vice president and has done so much for the Eastern employees, all the Eastern employees, the mechanics, the reservationists, the ground personnel, the pilots, the flight attendants, all who have joined the Eastern Airlines Retiree Association and enjoy the benefits that he has been able to accomplish with so many airlines and giving us reduced fares. So we want to honor Vito at that meeting as well. So if you haven't made reservation, then please think about it and get with us. It's the 23rd, 24th. And if you live anywhere in Southeast Florida, you're real close to us, you might want to just come for Saturday night only. We've got a special reduced rate for that. If you just want to come and have dinner with us and hear the speakers present these two gentlemen, and of course we have other speakers as well, and we have additional entertainment for the evening. So Dorothy, do you have any other comments about our reunion?
Well, we have a Friday evening also that's going to be spectacular. We have two professional dancers that are going to be at the meet and greet Friday evening. The dancers are going to be on for an hour doing all types of ballroom and rumbas and different dances. And then after that, it's going to be followed by a singer and entertainer, Richard Frank, who is going to be singing and entertaining us for the evening. So you can bring your dancing shoes because he's going to get you up off the floor. And Richard's been around a long time entertaining people from Las Vegas and all over the place. The weekend is $125 for the weekend. per person, and for Saturday evening it's $75 per person. But come and join us and have some fun with all of the Eastern people and their families and friends that are going to be there. And we certainly would like love you to come to honor both of our guests. They are truly deserving of it, and it would be great if we had a great response. So thank you for your time, and please think about coming. So back to you, Neil.
Okay, and folks, if you had a graduating class and you want to have a reunion with them, your own special table is reserved for that occasion, and we'd be happy to give you the recognition of your group at the reunion. So please let us know. Table of 10, we've got it ready for you. So please give us a call, and we'll be happy to make arrangements for your reunion. And a lot of us were in classes. Do what?
Neil, I'm sorry. One other thing I wanted to mention is about the memorabilia tables. If anyone wants to sell their memorabilia, to please send me an email so I'll be able to reserve a table and have it there for you. I haven't heard back from a ton of people this year, and those that have contacted me, it's all set and ready to go, and we have the covering for it. The tablecloths are going to be given by the hotel. So all they really need to do is just bring their wares and either want to sell them or display them. So just get in touch with me at dcgagnon@att.net. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and once again, Isabel Rodriguez has allowed us to use, and we'll be setting up the Eastern Boeing 737 look-alike, little small version, of course, with
that's
little
itty
windows
bitty.
That you could
itty
put
bitty.
Your...
Yeah.
Do what?
It's itty-bitty.
It's itty-bitty. Who's that saying
itty-bitty?
Itty-bitty.
Beverly.
Hey, Beverly.
We use it at our luncheon, too. It's a little itty-bitty airplane, so we call it itty-bitty. Yeah,
you know,
cute.
You know what they ought to do now is they ought to have, because it's been used so much in so many
uh-huh.
different occasions, picnics and reunions and conventions, by golly, they ought to start having everyone that sticks their head out that little window and has pictures, they ought to put signatures on the backside, not on the front side, because that's the beautiful artwork that has been done to create that little itty-bitty airplane.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
beautiful, really.
Yeah, it is. So we're happy to have that there, and maybe we can get some pictures. And, of course, we'll have Vito and Captain Bob Wilbur at their table. And if anyone wants to get a picture of these two gentlemen, then they have agreed to do that. I don't think they have. Well, Vito has got a book that he'll bring along to the reunion, and you'll get his autograph if you'll buy one of his books. Bob Wilbur may have a book coming out. I hope he does before long from his children who are writing gathering material on their father. And what a great tribute by a family to do what they're doing. So they will be at the reunion, and we'll be able to meet them and talk to them. And so we're just going to have a great time. So plan to be there if you live anywhere near, or if you want to fly in. I don't know if there are any rooms left at the special rate that we had reserved, $129, but it's worth a try at the Embassy Suites. And so try if you can. We'd be happy to see you there. We've got another little thing that we do every Thursday. I don't know how we do this, but we've got another little radio show that we do at 3 p.m. Eastern Time that we do. It's only a half-hour show. We don't take call-ins. It's just stories that we gather and do maybe two or three. If they're short, then we might do four or five. And we call this show From the Eastern Files. From the Eastern Files. So it's Eastern history as told by its employees, way back even to the mail wing days. So remember, it's Thursday at 3 p.m., same location that you locate this show tonight, at EALradioshow.com, or you can go to repoonline.com and enjoy only a half hour and listen to another story from the Eastern Files. Steve, how about seeing if you can get Flight 283 back on the ground?
Yes, thanks, Neil. Miami Tower, this is Eastern 283. Do you read us?
Eastern Flight 283, this is Miami Tower. You're cleared to straight in land on runway 27 right. The winds are light and variable from the west at 10 miles an hour. The present temperature at the airport is 82 degrees.
Roger, Miami, and we're crossing the Miami Beach shoreline about 15 out, and I understand we're cleared to land on 27 right.
Great landing, Captain Steve. We had a great show tonight, folks. Mr. Producer, another outstanding job at the board. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place we work and also the new Eastern Airlines. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, our listeners, guests, hosts, and sponsors, REPA and Homestead Funding. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us next week as we broadcast our 284th show, traveling aboard our EAL radio show, Boeing 737-800. We hope you will be with us once again as we file our flight plan for a destination yet to be determined. Until then, we all say good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.
We love you, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
We love you.
Good night, Eastern.
We love you.
You know you'll always remain in mind. a celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Celebration.
We gon' celebrate and have a good time. It's time to come together. It's up to you. Yeah.